Every year, Jesus' parents traveled to Jerusalem for the Feast of Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up, as they always did, for the feast. When it was over, they left for home. And the child Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents didn't know it, thinking he was somewhere in the company of the pilgrims. They journeyed for a whole day, and then they began looking for him among relatives and neighbors. When they didn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. The next day, they found him in the temple, seated among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. The teachers were all quite taken with him, impressed with the sharpness of his answers. But his parents were not impressed, as they were upset and hurt. His mother said, "Young man, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been half out of our minds looking for you." And Jesus said, "Why were you looking for me? Didn't you know that I had to be here dealing with the things of my Creator?" But they had no idea what he was talking about. So he went back to Nazareth with them and lived obediently with them. His mother held these things dearly, deep within herself. And Jesus matured, growing up both in body and spirit, blessed both by God and the people. I love this story. Huh? Well, I'll tell you, there is so much we could do with this story. First of all, you know, let's move this to today. What set of parents misplaces their kid for a day? Amen. You know, and then they spend an entire day looking for it, and you notice that there's nothing in this story that they called the authorities.
They didn't have cell phones
yet. How did, yeah. Amen. How the world has changed. When it first became apparent that he wasn't with them, what was their first thought? Oh, he's probably with some friends. You know, today, a 12-year-old kid goes missing and everybody's going to be in a grand mal panic. The world has changed just a little bit. What'd you think of that piece when they finally find him in the temple? I love the line, the way that it got interpreted by the writer Luke. The teachers, whom Jesus had been having conversations with, were really impressed. And then that next line, but his parents were not so impressed. Amen. And I want you to know that we sometimes really get caught up in this idea that about Jesus being God as opposed to the Son of God. And Luke gives us a very clear indication that, yes, this is the Son of God, but there is some learning that has to happen. Amen. I know that when I've heard this story preached before, they always, all the preachers sit there and talk about how Jesus was in the temple teaching them. Do you know that that theology's wrong? Did you hear what he was actually doing? He was listening to them and asking questions. He was listening and asking questions. He was learning. He knew that he was different. He knew that there was some kind of connection between him and God. And here he is, 12 years old. I got to figure this out. You know, we understand that, right? Because, you know, within the tradition of Judaism, you know, that's when you become a man. This is when you step into adulthood. Here, as Genesee is going to quickly find out, here in the United States, it's called 18. You know, we think the 12-year-olds, well, they still need some coddling and they need some taken care of. But in Jesus' time, that age of puberty, that age of maturity was usually around the age of 12, probably no later than 13. And so here he is realizing that he's got some responsibilities that are going to come his way. And where is the first place he went? This is one thing. This is point number one that I want you to think about. When you're trying to figure out with your life, what's the first thing you do?
Pray.
Amen. Where's the first place you go? Hopefully to church. That's what Jesus did.
No, he didn't. He went to synagogue.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Jesus went to synagogue. We go to church. But the fact is that he went to do what? To listen. You know, when people ask you why you go to church, you know, one of the fun times that I have with Lance all the time is one of the first questions when he first started coming to this church was he wanted to know, were people coming to church or were they going to a performance? They've got these big screens up, and they got these choirs that are just... And you got questions about your week? Yeah. Why don't you go to the synagogue, i.e. church, and listen? It's not going to necessarily come from the pastor. Maybe you're going to hear something good from somebody else. It's just like we heard about the story about the, you know, how we're going to be positive for the year, to write something down every day and throw it in a jar. And actually... I think that that's a good idea. I think it changes the way our prayer and praise goes every Sunday. And you know what? Maybe we ought to find a jar, hon. And bring your praises and we'll put them in the jar. Those things that happen. And every couple of 3 weeks, we'll remind people of how God is actually in the business of doing good. Amen. Now, I realize that it is a matter of perspective on a lot of this stuff. I know that there's people that could sit there and go, you know, it's one thing to know God. It's one thing to be in relationship with God. But, Pastor, you just don't understand. My life sucks. And I'm telling you that that's a matter of perspective. That's also the lesson of this story. Jesus' perspective was that he had a relationship with God. And so he went where he knew that he needed to be, irrespective of how the parents were going to react or how anybody else was going to react. And by the way, just a side note, did you catch the end of that? Luke gave us an idea of what happened to Jesus after that little stunt. If we were doing that today, I bet you that Jesus got his butt beat. Don't you ever do that again. Because what does the next verse say? After he gave that smart aleck response? I was sitting there every time I read that and think about that. What are you asking me for? Don't you know I was supposed to be? Man, I see the backhand coming. Amen? You do not talk to me that way. And I almost guarantee you they're standing out in public in front of all those people, and that was a smart aleck response. And I'm pretty sure that all the way back to Nazareth that Jesus heard about it. And that you're not going to do this again. Because what does the line say? He spent the rest of his childhood being obedient. Being obedient. If you don't think that Joseph had something to say to that child, then you missed the fun part of the story. Amen.
Considering what he did to the bird when he got...
Well, those are lost stories. But again, it's a matter of perspective, folks. Think about it. The people that were in the temple listening to Jesus were amazed at his questions. The parents, from their perspective, were worried as hell. And it does point out, though, that Mary kept these things in her heart. It's a matter of perspective. Several years ago, in the Journal of the American Medical Association, they published an article by Dr. Paul Ruskin on the stages of aging. And in the article, Dr. Ruskin described a case study that he had presented to his students when teaching a class in medical school, and he described the case study patient under his care like this. The patient neither speaks nor comprehends the spoken word. Sometimes she babbles incoherently for hours on end. She is disoriented about person, place, and time. She does, however, respond to her name. I have worked with her for the past 6 months, but she still shows complete disregard for her physical appearance and makes no effort to assist her own care. She must be fed, bathed, and clothed by others. Because she has no teeth, her food must be pureed. Her shirt is usually soiled from almost incessant drooling. She does not walk, and her sleep pattern is erratic. Often she wakes in the middle of the night, and her screaming awakens others. Most of the time, she is friendly and happy, but several times a day, she gets quite agitated without apparent cause, and she wails until someone gives her comfort. Wow. After presenting the class with a challenging case, Dr. Ruskin then asked the students if any of them would like to volunteer to take care of this person. Nobody volunteered. Any surprises? Wow. Any surprises that nobody would volunteer to take care of somebody that is in that much trouble? Amen? Then Ruskin said, I'm surprised none of you have offered to help, because actually she's my favorite patient. I get immense pleasure from taking care of her, and I am learning so much from her. She has taught me the depth of gratitude I never knew before. She has taught me the spirit of unwavering trust. She has taught me the power of unconditional love. And then Dr. Ruskin said, let me show you her picture. And he pulled out a picture and passed it around, and it was a photo of his six-month-old baby daughter. It is a matter of perspective. Praises in a jar, or you can stay away and find yourself incredibly unhappy. God calls us to be in relationship, and from that perspective, share it with each other. God bless you this morning.